ISIS is in the news again. Well, not really, because there's all kinds of stories that we don't hear about. Today we're going to be talking about one of them and what its potential implications are. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Cheryl Chumley, who returns to this program. She's a veteran journalist. She writes a lot of articles with WorldNet Daily, and she's the author of the book, The Devil in D.C. Her website, by the way, is CherylChumley.blogspot.com. Cheryl, welcome back to the program.
Jerry, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, I'll bet you that 99% of the people listening to this program right now never heard about the story in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago that you're going to tell us about.
Yeah, crazy story, and I know one place you won't hear it. It's from the Obama administration, who seems to be doing everything they can to tamp down the idea of radical Islam in America.
Yeah, even when it's blaring. I mean, like in the example of the Orlando shooting. I mean, the guy couldn't have been more clear about his intentions and his Islamic motivation.
He made a call, Omar Mateen, the Orlando shooter, made a call during the shootings, the three-hour span that he went on a rampage at Pulse nightclub in Orlando. And he said to 911 operators that he was doing this in the name of Islam, that he was doing it as a pledge of allegiance to an ISIS terror chief. So, you know, the Obama administration doesn't want to admit that. What they also won't admit is just a couple weeks ago in Philadelphia, there was this gang of men, five of them, who were at this Gino's steak diner, and a couple of couples went there after a wedding to eat. One of the women spoke to the crowd, to the five men, and asked them for a cigarette, I believe it was. And apparently they just went nuts and started beating the heck out of these two women. And then the two men they were with intervened, and they got beaten too. But what was most shocking is that these five men shouted, "Don't mess with us. We belong to ISIS." That's according to several witness statements to police. So that's kind of a shocking commentary of where we're at in America.
Do you think it's possible, and I do think it's possible, that these guys were just talking smack, as my son-in-law would put it? In other words, they're just talking, you know, like as if they're just trying to scare somebody. There's no real connection or no nexus there to radical Islam.
I do think it's possible, and I actually think it's probably more than likely that that was the case here. But that doesn't take away from the fact that this is where we're at in America. And if we're going to allow ISIS risks at the border, then we need to be alert to one of these threats one day actually being real. Mm-hmm. And as we just saw in Orlando, there are people in America right now who pledge support to ISIS. So you cannot dismiss the risk and the likelihood of such attacks occurring in the name of ISIS on our very own soils.
Hmm. Now, you've been following these kinds of stories for years. Do you feel like there's a whitewash on the part of the president, beyond Orlando, of course, when it comes to the nexus between Islam and violence? Radical Islam and violence.
I definitely believe that. When have you heard President Obama refer to any acts of terror around the world as rooted in radical Islamism? Rather, what he does is double down to press the belief that Islam is a religion of peace, that terrorism is terrible, but it's not rooted in Islamic beliefs. And he's done everything he can to bend over backwards to defend the Muslim faith. And it completely defies logic, because radical Islamism is the enemy, and that is the war on terror that we should be fighting. And it all starts with naming the enemy.
Yeah, isn't that the first rule of warfare, is you've got to name the enemy?
If you don't name the enemy, how are you going to fight the enemy? That's just common sense.
All right, now let me ask you this. Okay, some people have said, well, look, Obama's trying to be wise here. He doesn't want to declare war on all 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, or whatever the exact number is. Your thoughts?
Well, how is it declaring war on 1.5 billion Muslims in the world if Muslims themselves come out after acts of radical Islamism and dismiss their own faith from it? You know, you're not you're not painting the entire Muslim world as radical Islamists by calling acts of radical Islamic terror what they are. And Muslims who are peaceful at heart should be the first to admit that.
Yeah, but, you know, there is a situation where you don't see the same kind of denunciation on the part of even mainstream Muslims. And a part of that could just be the fear of speaking out and, you know, getting hurt within your own community.
Which makes you wonder, and I think rightly so, about the supposed peaceful aspects of the Muslim faith. You know, if Christians, if somebody were committing in the name of Jesus or the name of Christianity these egregious massacres, I, as a Christian, would be the first to distance myself.
No, you'd be the second. I'd be the first. No, I'm
right. You know, there would be widespread denouncement that this was actually an act of Christianity. But where is that coming from in the Muslim community? So it makes you question, wow, is this religion all that peaceful? If it is, then why aren't more in the Muslim world coming out denouncing it? And if it's out of fear that they're going to be condemned by their own radical elements, well, that says a lot about the faith as well.
Huh. Well, you know, it's interesting. Phil Haney, the chief author of the book See Something, Say Nothing, which is also a WorldNet Daily book, as well as your book, The Devil in D.C. But anyway, he said that in an interview I did with him recently, he said that Islam is a religion of peace we hear over and over and over. He said, I think there's a few words we need to add to that. Islam is a religion of peace, just not yet. And what he means by that is the Islamist goal, the goal of the Islamists, is for Islam to basically take over the world, implement Sharia law throughout the whole world, and at that point, then there will be peace. Of course, by the way, I mean, that's their theory, and even if, heaven forbid, they were able to accomplish that, I guarantee you there wouldn't be peace, because look how they fight amongst themselves. The Sunnis and the Shiites kill more of each other than they kill Christians, even, or than they kill Jews or gays.
Well, look how Islam is spread throughout the world. It's always by blood. You know, it's always by acts of war, by takeover and forced, you know, allegiance to their God of Allah. And, you know, I point out in my first book, actually, Police State USA, I have a chapter on radical Islamism, and I go to Pew Research Center, which is not a right-wing, you know, research think tank by any means, and they did this comprehensive view of what Islam actually believes. And call it peaceful or not, I have my serious doubts about that, because when you start to look at what even the so-called peaceful Muslims believe, women who commit adultery are rightly stoned to death. People who steal are rightly, have their limbs cut off, their hands cut off. And that certainly doesn't jive with what our Constitution puts forth. So, you know, believing that Islam is not this religion of peace that some would have you believe, I think that's a good doubt to hold.
Hmm. Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General under President Obama, initially, when they were having partial transcripts released from the Orlando shooter, they were actually whitewashing the nexus from Islam right out in front of the whole world. And only pushback on that terrible move caused them to reverse that. But, for example, when the shooter said, "Praise be to Allah," it was changed to "Praise be to God." Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I actually covered that in a story I did for WND, and I just thinking about it.
Just
now,
that transcript story, you mean? Just the transcripts issue? Yeah, wow.
The transcript, the fact that they would sub out Allah, which is a specific God that the Islamic faith believes in, for God, which is what Christians, you know, call God because he is, it's just another whitewash attempt to tamp down the idea that radical Islamism is the root of this. And it's an outrage. I can't believe that didn't rock the national media in the mainstream side more than it did, because that's just outright censorship.
Hmm. Well, you know, not to be partisan here, John McCain, who's a Republican, of course, he said that when the Muslims are saying Allahu Akbar, they're just saying something to the effect of praise be to God. Your comments?
Well, it's not, because as Christians know, there's one God, and his name is not Allah. So if you're going to call God Allah, then that is not the name that Christians know God to be. And to put those two together as if they're one and the same, it's an offense to Christians, I think.
You know, it's interesting, though. I will say this. I have written books, including some books with the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, and we've had some of them translated into, for example, Indonesia. And I was surprised to see my own book where we said God, and they translated God as Allah. And then that got me to realize, oh, my goodness, Christians were using the name of Allah for the word God as, believers in the triune God long before Muhammad even existed. So I think what's happened, though, of course, the name Allah is so wrapped up in Islam that for the most part, when we hear Allah, we think of Muslims, whereas it's still used as a name for God, even among Christians in the Middle East and in other places. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, and I think that's I think that's something that we should fight as Christians, because God is not Allah. It's just they're two separate entities. One is God, and one is someone that is named Allah that a certain faith worships.
Gee, I wonder what faith that would be. You're not even using you're not even connecting the dots here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Art Moore, of one of your colleagues at WorldNet Daily, made an interesting point on this very radio program. He said, look, I would say to my friends on the left, you got to realize you've got a choice. Do you want to live ultimately under the Constitution of the United States, or do you want to live under Sharia? That's the choice.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. The more Muslims that come in this nation, the more our borders are open to refugees and so forth, who have religious beliefs that are based in, Islamic Sharia law, the harder it's going to be to stand strong on the Constitution, because the two aren't compatible in my mind. Muslim beliefs in Allah and, Sharia law and so forth cannot stand in the face of America's Constitution. And there is going to be a day when there has to be a tough choice made.
Hmm. Okay. Maybe you could give us an example or two of Sharia law that would be incompatible with the Constitution.
Well, women's rights, first and foremost. How can that be? How can you have women who are found guilty in Sharia law of adultery being stoned to death, and the Constitution that does not allow for any of that? We've seen some chaos in years past with just Muslim women with the face coverings trying to get their licenses at the DMV, and how CARE has risen up to support these women being allowed to have their licenses with their faces covered. Mm. There are certain things that seep into America's legal system that are just not compatible with how, the Judeo-based, Judeo-Christian-based Constitution and what Founding Fathers believed, how our laws have morphed over the years.
Okay, we have 30 seconds to wrap up. We're talking with Cheryl Chumley, cherylchumley.blogspot.com for more information. Her book is called The Devil in D.C. And here's the basic question. The recent incident of violence in Philadelphia where someone, one of the bad guys, one of the five bad guys, said, hey, don't mess with us, we're from ISIS. Does he represent possibly other lone wolves out there? How much is ISIS a potential problem for us here in America? You've got 20 seconds to wrap up, please.
Well, think of the open borders. Think of the welcome to refugees from this Obama administration. And think of what's going on with the growth of ISIS around the world right now and radical Islamism in general. 10 years ago, if somebody shouted that in America, it wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. But here we are. ISIS is enough of a reality that people, thugs in America, are claiming the group as their own.
Wow. Cheryl Chumley, thanks so much for being with us again. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry.